Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
History in five songs with host Martin Popoff, a production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Well, hello once again. Welcome back to another episode of History in Five Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcast. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this fast and always expanding Pantheon Podcast Network. Last time I checked, 108 shows. 108 different podcasts are part of this network. Pretty cool. We're available on Spotify, iTunes, and over 40 other podcast platforms, Amazon Music, of course, included. Okay, so this is episode 229. I'm calling this my top five albums, colon, a pre-chorus study. So my top five albums, a pre-chorus study. Interesting, circuitous way to getting to this. I'm working on a Judas Priest panel book, and a good buddy of mine, Sean Kelly, is part of that book. Virtuoso guitarist, part of Helix and Coney Hatch, and played with Nelly Furtado and Lee Aaron. Anyways, I think I've mentioned this before, but he pointed out that Judas Priest has really good pre-choruses that are almost better than the choruses, or are more melodic or smarter than the choruses. It seems like they did a lot of work on them. So they're going to be one of the examples we're going to talk about here. But I didn't want to limit this to just Judas Priest. So I thought I want to do a show on pre-choruses and their relationship to the choruses. But then I thought, how do I limit this down? How do I pare this down? And I was thinking, oh, do I look at the Billboard 200? Do I look at, you know, the top heavy songs, you know, in something like Kerrang! Magazine in 1982? So what I decided instead of doing that was, I was going to take my five favorite albums. You get a bonus here, a reconsideration of what my top five favorite albums are. And I tell you, this was a lot of fun because I really enjoyed playing these albums again and looking for this relationship between the pre-chorus and the verse and the chorus. So this was really fun, and I you know, unequivocally can state that, you know, the five albums I picked here, I picked five different bands, could easily on any given day be my top five favorite albums. Certainly, they're always going to be in my top 10, I think. But yeah, I you know, coming up with this, I thought, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but I think there might be a couple of other episodes involved in this, maybe looking at the concept of verse, maybe looking at the concept of chorus, maybe looking at the concept of breaks, right? A break sounds like a kind of a good one to do. But yeah, so the idea here, this takes care of, you know, well, the other way this can be done is I can look at other albums and possibly come up with a theme. But no, let's stick with this. But the cool thing that I can do with this is it kind of takes into consideration the idea of chorus and pre-chorus. So briefly speaking, some of you might be wondering, what is a pre-chorus? So the pre-chorus is kind of the idea. It could be discussed as the build or the channel or a bridge or a transitional bridge of some type. I think bridge means something a little bit different. But we're going to get in this idea of the build here with one of these bands. Kind of interesting. I've learned some neat things in going through this exercise. But essentially what a pre-chorus is a strong, slightly different musical part that follows the verse that leads you into the chorus. So it can be a build up to the chorus in some way, pretty much in every way, I guess it is a build up to the chorus. But like I say, Judas Priest is a great example, and Sean pointed this out, and then he started humming some songs. I go, yeah, that's right, that one too. So literally sometimes they can out-spotlight, outshine the chorus itself. And Priest is a good example of that, because once you get past that really ambitious pre-chorus, sometimes the chorus is just repeating the title of the song sort of thing, or the music is less sophisticated or even less hooky than the pre-chorus. So that's kind of a cool thing about pre-choruses. Did I learn anything here about the magic of pre-choruses and the fact that pre-choruses can make really amazing good songs and hit songs? No, I didn't, because when I picked my five favorite albums, I realized what I have here with these albums is a dearth of pre-choruses. So the point is, what we're going to find here is these are my favorite albums, possibly because they're pretty complex and non-obvious, and there's a lot going on them. Maybe they're a little bit proggy, but there are reasons these are my five favorite albums, and I would say one of the main reasons is that it's not just verse, chorus, verse, bridge, or verse, pre-chorus, chorus, bridge. These songs are pretty unconventional as a rule. And the other point I wanted to bring up is what got me thinking about this episode was this whole idea of, Pete and I have been complaining or approving or whatever, blah, 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 of this Hackney Diamonds Rolling Stones situation. And one of the things I really don't like about that album is Andrew Watt, as a 33-year-old big shot pop producer, has really brought in the idea of these really saccharine pre-choruses and choruses. So the pre-choruses kind of stick out like a sore thumb, as do the choruses. So what I learned here is almost a confirmation of that thing rubbing me the wrong way, because here there's actually not a lot of choruses and pre-choruses. So we're going to go through every song on these top albums. So let's start with this one. Take a listen. This is Led Zeppelin with Down by the Seaside. Okay, so Physical Graffiti, definitely one of my favorite albums of all time. I usually put it number one, so I wanted to put it number one here. I also wanted to put it number one so I could get the double album out of the way. It's the only double one I put here. But yeah, so this is an interesting example of a pre-chorus, and there aren't very many on here as we'll go through them. So what the idea here is, when Robert goes, "Hear what the little fish are saying," and then you get that Hawaiian guitar part that leads up to the people turned away part, right? The people turned away is essentially the chorus of this song, but the neat thing about this song is that the pre-chorus is basically an instrumental pre-chorus, even though there's those ooh-oohs. So yeah, side one, Custard Pie, no pre-chorus or chorus. The Rover, huge pre-chorus in a way. This again is like... this is a good example of a pre-chorus, that arpeggiated guitar melodic part before it leads to the "if we could just join hands," which we can call the chorus here. Like I say, this is a cool, complicated band and a cool, complicated album. So, Jimmy Page is upending, and John Paul Jones, being the great musicologist he is, they're upending the idea of choruses, pre-choruses, verses, and all that stuff, right? But that's interesting. I think that's a pre-chorus there. In My Time of Dying, 11 minutes long. No pre-chorus or chorus, just parts as far as I can tell. Houses of the Holy, no pre-chorus or chorus. Trampled Underfoot, no pre-chorus. Just that very brief talking about love for the chorus. Like, it's almost like what they do, and Zeppelin does this a lot, is, and it's kind of a blues thing too, Whereas there's just a punctuation, a slight twist to the end of a verse that is going to have to stand as our chorus situation. So that talking about love for the chorus, and then the first two are the same as the verse, and then the rise and back again sort of thing. Kashmir, an instrumental pre-chorus again, or an instrumental chorus, depending on how you look at it. Is that second part, is that the chorus? So kind of interesting. Again, upended. It doesn't follow pop conventions, and we're glad, right? We're glad it doesn't. Side three, In the Light. The ascending melodic part is the chorus. The clavinet on its own is possibly the pre-chorus. So again, another instrumental pre-chorus, you might say. Brongniart, just an instrumental, no chorus or chorus. Our crowning example was this interesting example of Down by the Seaside, which you get track three on side three. 10 years gone, no pre-chorus or chorus, as far as I would assess it, right? Side four, now here you get the shorter songs, so you get a little more conventional. Night Flight, definitely probably the most conventional song on here. There's no pre-chorus, but I think you do get a conventional chorus on this one. The Oh Yeah, Meet Me in the Morning, Boogie Woogie sort of part. The Wanton Song. What I like about this, I thought this was pretty interesting. So no pre-chorus, but I think this has an instrumental chorus, and that's all you get. So that's kind of cool, and it happens twice in the song. Take a listen. Tell me if you think that's an instrumental chorus. Boogie with Stu, more of a lift at the end of the verse idea that we just talked about. That I don't want no tutti frutti, no lollipop part. Come on, baby, just rock, rock, rock. So it's a punctuation, right? Black Country Woman, even though it's a conventional song with vocals and all that kind of stuff, nothing. No pre-chorus, no chorus. Sick Again. I think you could call that, oh, do you know my name? Do I look the same? You know, question mark, is that a pre-chorus? And is the chorus, you know, I'm the one you want, babe. I must be the one you need kind of idea. So there are these distinct parts, but neither really behaves particularly like a chorus or a pre-chorus. So what is our lesson here with this double album? Led Zeppelin, at least on my favorite, most complicated Led Zeppelin album, doesn't have a lot of pre-choruses, and indeed doesn't even have a lot of choruses. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. All right, back again here, History in 5 Songs, episode 229, one of my longest titles, isn't it? My Top 5 Albums, a Pre-Chorus Study. Take a listen to this. This is Black Sabbath with Megalomania. All right, man, going through Sabotage again. Absolutely, definitely, maybe, you know, my favorite album of all time. I toggle it with the Zeppelin album. But man, I was playing Super Czar again, and what a great, amazing, complicated classical piece. What a cool tune. But yeah, there's not a lot to pick from here. So let's go through them, and we'll get to Megalomania. Side one, Hole in the Sky. No pre-chorus, but a clear chorus. You definitely get a standard sort of chorus here. Don't Start Too Late, obviously nothing there. It's 49 seconds of hummingbird guitar. Symptom of the Universe. What I find here that's interesting is no pre-chorus, but it also, like Led Zeppelin, like the great bands, has an instrumental chorus. Although, is it technically instrumental? Because Ozzy's going, yeah! So this is basically some jagged chords, Bill Ward going nuts on the drums, and Ozzy going, yeah. And that kind of serves as this song's chorus. Kind of interesting. So Megalomania. So why I picked this one. So both parts have a chorus. So there's the slow part at the beginning. This is like a 10-minute song, right? And then there's the fast part later on. It's almost like two separate songs. Kind of like Dying to Meet Me, Judas Priest in a way, right? So both parts have a chorus, I think, loosely speaking, but I don't think there's a pre-chorus on the fast part. I think this slow part has a pre-chorus, which I played in this clip. That's a nice thing about these 30-second clips for this episode anyways, is that I can clearly frame and show you the pre-chorus. Where can I run to now? The joke is on me. No sympathizing God, it's insanity. So that's the first time you get it. And then how could this poison be the dream of my soul? How do my fantasies take complete control? So what you have here, and we're going to talk about this a little more with one of our next bands, polar opposite of Black Sabbath, not the next one, actually number four. So what I consider the chorus here is the "why don't you just get out of my life," that kind of dopey melodic part, right? But what these two parts do is they bridge the verse to this chorus with a build. So it is the setting you up for the chorus, setting you up for loving or liking the chorus, right? But it's a rise in intensity with Sabbath here. It's a rise in the craziness and the megalomania of the song as you get to that "why don't you just get out of my life," which frankly has a little bit of the air let out of the tires, I think, when you get to that part. Okay, so that was our clear example, or clear enough. Side two, the thrill of it all. Maybe, again, an instrumental chorus, perhaps. And again, what I'm learning here as I went along, or as I go along, is that there is such thing as an instrumental chorus, because I found a few of them on Physical Graffiti and on Sabotage, two of the greatest albums of all time. Super Czar, again, possibly an instrumental chorus. Kind of cool. Am I Going Insane Radio? There's a clear chorus on this song, but there's no pre-chorus. And on The Writ, again, you get a clear chorus. The melodic descending thing, but different lyrics sort of thing. So in a way, again, very complicated song, even though it's slow, but really cool. What a great album this is. What an incredible recording as well. Okay, let's go on to our third selection here of my favorite five albums of all time, a pre-chorus study. This is Judas Priest with Hellbent for Leather. Hear the roar as they sense the fear. Of light screams from a streak of fire as he strikes. Hellbent, hellbent for leather. Hellbent, hellbent for leather. Okay, so to drive home Sean's point here, and what I did is I picked an album which is the cusp album, then the transitional album, when they're, you know, later on there's even better examples of these pre-choruses. But you listen to that Hellbent for Leather. Well, let's discuss that first. That is an absolutely classic example of Priest's total skill, their magic, their pixie dust at writing these pre-choruses. So it's that double pace, that double bass part, that almost angelic, evangelical sort of music part that builds up to the chorus itself. And the chorus is basically simple. It's just repeating the title of the song. So the pre-chorus is actually slightly more interesting than the chorus. And the verse is really interesting as well. But really cool, short song, 2:38. It's amazing what Priest crams into these songs on this album, my favorite Priest album, in such little time. Let's go through it from the beginning. Delivering the Goods, excellent, excellent short pre-chorus, that "you better watch out, better hold on tight, hitting the stage like dynamite, ooh," and then it goes into the chorus, right? So again, a really high quality part of completely different music between the verse and the chorus. And then the chorus is just delivering the goods, delivering the goods, delivering the goods, right? So perfect example of that. Rock Forever, no pre-chorus, but just a short chorus. I'm in love, so in love, and I can't stop talking about my rock forever. So this is another one where essentially it's a fancy pants ending to the verse. It's like a wrap-up of the verse rather than a true thought out, you know, separate pre-chorus part. Kind of interesting. And again, what I learned through this process is that's a little bit of a blues trope. Evening Star, no pre-chorus at all, except the sort of like the three-note wrap-up to the verse. Again, just a da-da-da-psh, Evening Star, right? So it's the verses go along, and then there's a very brief wrap-up, so maybe that you could call that kind of a pre-chorus, or it's a little bit of a difference that is announcing the chorus to come. Kind of cool. Take on the World, no pre-chorus. It's straight into the chorus on that. They're trying to make a pretty simple song. Burn It Up, excellent example of a pre-chorus, that we've got to make love, the time is right, and then the chorus, right? And totally different music, right? So you got verse music, complex, really interesting, one of my favorite pre-songs. You got pre-chorus music, and then you've got the chorus music. It's all even the rhythm is slightly different, but they're all the same speed, right? Kind of cool. Green Man Alishi, of course they didn't write it, but there is just that little lick, and then one of the cool things about this one, this is a clear example of a straight instrumental chorus. You know, that that thing, right? So that's kind of cool. This has got verses and an instrumental chorus where there's no singing, right? Kind of cool. Killing Machine, you get a chorus, but it's short. Not much is said. It's just that I got a contract on you sort of thing. So it's almost like the wrap-up to the verses serves as the chorus, and that's it. Running Wild, you can tell me, take a listen to that song. It's great, it's short, won't take up much of your time, but does it have an instrumental chorus? Kind of cool. Before the Dawn, it's got this ascending section twice. I guess this is the chorus. Evil Fantasies, no pre-chorus, just a chorus where he's doing his Al Jolson voice on there, right? So yeah, there's a great study in, again, we've got instrumental choruses, which is kind of cool. We've got clear, good examples of pre-choruses as well. All right, let's move on to our fourth selection here. The cool thing with this exercise is I picked the albums first, not knowing what I was going to say or even find with pre-choruses, because, you can go through albums looking for certain things, and this whole exercise was looking for pre-choruses. It took a long time. My method was playing the song on Spotify so I could slide around quickly, but also because I know these songs so well, sometimes if I just go to A to Z lyrics and I'm reading the lyrics, I know what's happening, right? That prompts you to what's going to show up. Take a listen to this. This is AC/DC with Girls Got Rhythm. Okay, so again, I had no idea what I was going to find with pre-choruses here, and I learned something about AC/DC, or at least about this great album. And I will authoritatively say, after playing this again, I marvel at this album. This album is there's a pretty good gulf growing between this and what I've often called my favorite AC/DC album, Power Age. But yeah, I think this is heads and shoulders above. So yeah, let's go through them. Highway to Hell, it's just got a short buildup. So again, one thing I'm learning about AC/DC here is that they just slightly alter the verse and build the intensity of the verse, and that is what serves as the pre-chorus in a lot of their songs. There's not a lot of pre-choruses. But yeah, very effective, a short buildup of the verse. Girls Got Rhythm. So this is kind of like, again, a little bit of a stronger version of what I just said, where I'm going to cross that line and call it a pre-chorus. So it's a mix of a pre-chorus and a verse. It raises in tune and melody before the chorus, where you get to the no doubt about it. Dun, 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 dun. So it's got a little bit of a rhythmic punctuation as well. And then you're into the really straightforward chorus. Walk All Over You, no pre-chorus, but a clear chorus to that song. Touch Too Much, a build in the verse, so it's a build in the verse / pre-chorus mix again, and then there's a bit of a post-chorus. I learned that about these AC/DC songs. I bet if you went through the catalog, there's, you know, all these catalogs are ripe for all these kind of like full examination of these things. But what I learned is that later on in the chorus, they can actually put a few little things that you might even call a post-chorus right in the chorus, or a post-chorus that's going to lead you back to the verse, which is kind of cool. Beating around the bush. It heats up in the chorus. It ends. So this is one where the I'm looking at my notes here. They aren't particularly clear, but this is one where it builds up and then there's and it just ends with the beating around the bush. So this is another type of chorus that I could possibly do a whole episode on. But these choruses that and we've even pointed out a few of them here. These choruses that these songs where you think it doesn't really have a chorus, but there's some kind of nonsense going on that goes on and it goes on and it goes on some more. And then they say the title, right? And so it's like, oh, well, they said the title. That must have been the chorus we just listened to, but it really didn't sound like one. Beating Around the Bush, I think, is a good example of that. Side two, Shot Down in Flames. That short instrumental pause is a brief version of a pre-chorus. And then the same thing is used as the pre-verse. Again, kind of interesting. Get It Hot. I think this one actually fits because you got this boogie verse. And then there's definitely an almost like a discernible shift into a different type of verse before you get to the very straightforward chorus, where I think it's doubling up on the beat, right? At that point, not doubling up, but the 1/3 idea, right? Taking away of the beat or the reversing of the beat sort of thing. So yeah, that one I put an asterisk beside because I think that's a clear version of a pre-chorus. If you want blood, you've got it. No pre-chorus at all, but more like a movable one that comes partway through the chorus. So yeah, this is another one where the chorus is actually kind of complicated. There are different sort of parts to it where they're mixing a lot of cool things together, and that's why AC/DC was so successful, right? Love Hungry Man, no pre-chorus, but that same intensification of the verse before you get to the chorus. Night Prowler, again, this is a blues song, so there's a real blues trope to this. It's kind of like a stripper blues where there's a raise in intensity as the verses go on and a raise in intensity of Bond's voice, but no real pre-chorus to it. All right, let's move on to our last selection here. Take a listen to this. This is Queen with the great Dead on Time. All right, Queen Jazz. Wow. You know, I was thinking, am I going to do Queen 1? Am I going to do Queen Jazz? What is my favorite Queen album? I was going through jazz again. I could do 10 episodes just on the production of this album. This is such an amazing, you know, pop fruity, filled up with ear candy sort of album. It's amazing, right? So just to go through it, and again, it's so complicated with all these short songs that are all cut and paste and really strange that it's hard to have this discussion about pre-chorus. Again, I had no idea what I was going to find. Didn't find much. But I think Dead on Time is our best example of a pre-chorus on this album. So Mustafa, there are parts in there that I feel like there is a little bit of a pattern going on, where you do feel like you get pre-chorus and chorus, but it's all shifting sands, just to put it in the Middle East. Fat Bottom Girls, boy, this is a hard one, because it's got that massive, it's almost like it, this is one, I guess, that has, that massive, amazing thing that you didn't know was a chorus until they get to the end and they say Fat Bottom Girls. And that's when the light bulb goes off and goes, oh, I must have just heard the chorus. Kind of cool. Bicycle Race, too many parts. If you can't beat them, yes, I have an asterisk by this. So yes, there's that change in the chords and the brief skip of the time signature, right? So you get to the end of this pretty straightforward thing, and then the chords change, and then you've got the that give as good as you get part, and the next time it's I'll play you at your own game. So you definitely get this brief version of a pre-chorus, very different from the verse. It's not very long, just a few seconds, and then you go into a very straightforward sort of chorus. Let me entertain you. I would say you get the brief thing where he goes, "Let me entertain you," da-da, and then you get into something that stands as a frankly kind of crappy chorus, right, where there's no beat to it. But this is a good heavy song, the heaviest song in the album. So I think the best part of this song is the verse. And then Dead on Time. So yeah, just to give you a little more, so that "Hurry Down the Highway, Hurry, Hurry, Hurry." And then you get the chorus, and that beautiful chorus, beautiful pre-chorus as well. Just an amazing song, just a masterpiece, right? But that "Hurry Down the Highway, Hurry, Hurry" is the clear, clear version of the pre-chorus in this. "In Only 7 Days," intensification of the verse idea. "Saturday, Just 24 Hours," that whole thing, that's the chorus. "Dreamer's Ball," drowsy blues, sort of a straight chorus. "Fun It," kind of complicated, hard to tell, but you've got that "Can't You See, Aren't You Moving Free?" That part, I guess, is the pre-chorus, but it's not super clear. It's just everything's pretty seamless on this, even though it's herky-jerky as well. "Don't Stop Me Now" is another one where I feel this is just one of the most intensifying, cool, classic pop songs of all time. And there's just this pumping piano and Freddie singing, where it's just kind of like an intensification, you know, 200 degrees. That's why they call me Mr. Fahrenheit, all that. "But I Want to Make a Supersonic Man Out of You" is kind of like the end of that whole thing. And then we're into the chorus, right? So yeah, hard to tell. There's just almost like pre-chorus clues, but not really a pure pre-chorus. And "More of That Jazz" is just too bizarre. It's hard to tell what's what in that. I just love that song to death as well. It was an absolute masterpiece. So yeah, there you go. Jazz is absolutely going to be my favorite Queen album. So there you go. I didn't want to get into honorable mentions or other stuff here because, like I was saying before, we could talk about this till the cows come home. You know, in a lot of my research, this episode took a long time, but in a lot of the research, a lot of people talk about just standard Pop-Tart pop songs of the day now, because there's lots of pre-chorus and pre-chorus debate and discussion and how that turns things into hits. But I thought it was quite amusing that as I picked my 5 favorite albums, there's not a lot of examples of this, and there's a lot of example of breaking the rules. And that's why they're my favorite albums, because there's a lot of substance to these albums, right? So there you go. If you like this show and want to support future episodes, please go to ko-fi.com/martinpopoff. Hit that red support button. Buy me a coffee or a pint. This week, I would like to thank Joe Becht, Andy at Black Sugar Transmission, Lee Fordham, Michael Gendelman, Simon Hall, Dennis Lawson, Augustin Garcia de Paredes, Steve Polari, and Brian Sager. You can get all my books at martinpopoff.com. All these big swanky books, the Bowie, the Who, the Pink Floyd, got those. The Bluish Cult panel book is cool. I just turned in. It's coming, folks. The follow-up to Flame and Telepaths, Imaginos Expanded and Specified. The new books, I guess I'm breaking the news here, is going to be called Perfect Water, The Rebel Imaginos. Similar sort of thing, but much weirder. I drew 40 illustrations for it again. It was a lot of work, and it's been very delayed by other things. But yeah, coolest thing I ever did. I love that Flaming Telepaths book as well, and it sells like crazy too. People love it. Even the ebook, man, people are buying the ebook. So yeah, people, that really sort of hit a nerve. People are a lot weirder than I thought, and they're as weird as I am. So there you go. Talk to you later.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at R&R Archaeology.